everyone. Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of December 17th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and grinchy Melissa Hansen.
I am not. Okay, maybe a little bit. I'm just not in. It's hard to get in the Christmas spirit in Texas.
Yeah.
We're like 67 degrees right now.
Yeah.
And it's falling leaves everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to blame that. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm going to go with that. Totally going with that.
It's fine. We finally got some snow on the ground here in New England, so looks a little bit more like Christmas, but I'm just getting over a flu bug, so I'm not very much in the mood either.
It really is Christmas.
Yeah.
You're all sick and covered in germs.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
Right, so what has your weekend entertainment been like?
Well, I finally saw Skyfall.
Oh, nice.
So, and loved it.
Good.
Loved it. My favorite Bond movie by far.
Yeah, and I know you're a very big Judi Dench fan.
I'm a huge Judi Dench fan, and that's it really is like Judi Dench's movie.
It is.
She is, she has as much screen time, but she's at least as important of a character as Daniel Craig as James Bond in this one. It's a really great send-off for her.
Right.
Unfortunately, because, I mean, we talked about this before. She's gone blind.
Yeah, she's got macular degeneration.
Right. And so she is basically retiring from acting.
Yeah.
So this was a great, big, juicy, meaty, beautiful role.
Yeah.
For her, it's kind of going to be her last, at least, big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and was totally worthy of her talents and do that. But it was great. Daniel Craig was great. Everybody keeps saying it's a different Bond. It's a new Bond. It's not your father's Bond. It really is different.
Yeah.
And we get a new Q. And
yes.
A very young Q. And it's interesting because we're so used to all the funky gadgets. And he hands him like a gun.
Yeah.
It's like, here. It's like, that's it. It's like, I got computer shit to do, dude.
Right, exactly.
That's what the future is. Like, what, you think some stupid-ass gadgets? Screw that. I'm going to go save the world on my computer. Which is true.
It is.
And there's a lot about, do we even need agents anymore? I mean, people versus computers.
Right.
And what's really going to save the world or destroy the world?
Yeah.
So there's lots of deep stuff like that.
What did you think of Javier Bardem?
Okay, so
I've been waiting to talk to you about this.
So I'm very torn in this. He's the villain in this.
Yes.
And, you know, so we also have seen him be psycho, whacked out villain.
Yes.
Before.
No Country for Old Men.
Sugar.
Yep.
Man, this guy makes Sugar look like a freaking nursery school teacher. He is wet. It's great. Now, here's the thing, though. And if you've seen any pictures, they have him as, like, dyed blonde hair.
Yes.
Which I get, in a way, I think, to make him more, I think, effeminate in one way, but also to make him more surreal.
Yes.
I don't know. It bugged me, though.
I knew it would, because
it's, like, the worst thing to say about a movie is that I didn't like the guy's dye job.
Because they're
the movie.
They played up the psychosexual aspect of it.
They did, which was freaking cool.
Yeah.
It played, like, a hetero-homo
yes.
aspect, like, both ways. It wasn't like he was just a crazy gay guy, because
no.
he wasn't.
No.
I mean, you see some of that, but it's to make people uncomfortable.
Yes.
He was had mother issues,
mm-hmm.
sexual issues, along with just, like, gross. I don't know. I loved him. He was great. He was great. It was an interesting villain.
Yeah.
It wasn't. And again, the storyline was more this, like, personal revenge.
Absolutely.
Not, I'm going to take over the world.
Mm-mm.
Which is much more realistic.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a very real.
Yeah, and he owned it. He owned his screen time. It was unforgiving, and I don't know. He just, there was every ounce of this character he embodied.
Oh, yeah. He became this.
Yes.
There was no acting. There was no acting. I think from anyone in this movie, there was no acting.
And when you finally get to the chapel at the end, where all this shit kind of hits the fan, it was just fascinating to watch.
Yeah, he really, it was brilliant casting.
Now, did you pick up on the fact that the Albert Finney character very well could have been written for Sean Connery?
I did not, but now that you say it, I can see it.
I think that would have been a beautiful way to play it. He wouldn't have done it, obviously. He's retired, and he refuses to have anything to do with Bond right now because he feels slighted by the Broccoli family for all the money that they ripped off from him over the years.
Well, okay. That's understandable.
But had he agreed to do that, it would have been perfect. Yeah, I mean, I love Albert Finney, but having Sean play the housekeeper, though.
Yeah, but then you're also, I don't know. Then you're also, you're mixing streams.
You are. I mean, it's very J.J. Abrams Star Trek kind of
stuff. Yeah, I don't know if I really dig that.
Yeah.
Because it's again, it's a new Bond.
It is.
It's not Connery. Yeah. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. And I will say, too, Sam Mendes brought this shit, man.
Oh, yeah.
Crap, did he bring it.
Yeah, and he's done a lot of different films over the years, but there was nothing in the, I couldn't find a flaw in the way this film was set up.
No, and Roger Deakins was a cinematographer.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking gorgeous.
Yes, yes. Makes London look very different from the London that we've seen before.
And I love seeing the shot. There is a lot. You see a lot of London. Yeah. And
Very modern London, not classic London, modern London.
Yeah, yeah. No. So anyhow, man, we've talked a long time, but it was excellent. And I loved because the Bond girls, very small roles.
Yes.
Because M was the Bond girl.
Yes, that's true. Very good point.
She was the Bond girl.
Yeah.
And what a cool Bond girl. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And we've got two more Daniel Craig pictures on the way. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And some cast changes. Like I said, new Q in this one and some new cast changes in the next one. And
refines, takes over.
So looking forward to it.
Yep.
Very good. All right.
All right. Well, my trip to the theater this past week was something I almost didn't go see because I wasn't feeling well. And at the last minute, my brother convinced me. So we did go see Life of Pi.
Okay.
Ang Lee. And it has a very Pushing Daisies kind of feel to it. Very fable, timeless fable, living inside a storybook, kind of Wes Anderson thing going on. There were people who were concerned about the amount of digital animation that was being done, but to be perfectly honest, when you're sitting there, you can tell the environment was digitally created in a lot of points.
Okay.
But a lot of the animals that they use are so photorealistic, it's very difficult to tell where the seams are.
It's just the whole thing looks kind of... surrealist.
Yes, and it does have that vibe to it because it's an older man who's telling this story about what happened to him as a teenager.
So it's good that it's all kind of illustrated-ish.
Right, because it does have that kind of fond remembrance type feel to it.
Okay.
The cast was fantastic. It's not anybody that's going to stand out for you to say, you know, I know him from so-and-so, because it's really just, it's kind of old man in the sea where you have this one character who's dealing with the fact that his family was leaving India. They had owned a zoo in India. The parents were looking for a new life in America, in New York, and had taken all the animals on this Japanese freighter and was heading to New York to sell them to different zoos, and the family was going to start a new life there. Well, of course, halfway across the ocean, they wound up hitting this terrible storm, and the boat sinks.
Yeah.
So some of the animals survived, and he was the only one of his family that survived. And the only reason he did is because he was woken up in the middle of the night by this storm and he loves thunderstorms and wanted to go on deck to see it. His family never made it out. They all drowned. But it's this, how do you survive at sea on this lifeboat that has three animals on it, one of which being a Bengal tiger?
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
How do you survive?
Yep. But it was really fascinating. And this tiger, they called him Richard Parker because apparently the zoo got the name mixed up between the guy who donated the animal and then the name of the animal itself.
That's excellent. I love that.
He was 15% real and 85% digital throughout the film. And honestly, you can't tell because it's a beautiful story. You don't care about the time length. You're just wondering how this is all going to play out. And I'd love to see it again, to be perfectly honest with you. Ang Lee does these beautiful visual films.
Yeah. You've got to once just, to absorb visuals, and then once to actually get characters and plot. And,
Even Brokeback Mountain, incredibly visual film.
So gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about Heath Ledger. Yeah.
So well worth seeing if you haven't. It's definitely going to be on a lot of critics' top 10 lists.
Okay.
So, but, and it's actually still on the top 10 list at the box office this week, surprisingly enough.
It is. It's okay. But basically, you saw Life by I saw Skyfall. Every other person who went to the movies saw The Hobbit.
Yeah,
The Hobbit made almost $85 million this weekend.
Which put it in perspective of the other movies that have made bongo money this year, and that's not up towards the top.
So, but here's what I was saying. That's all anybody saw.
Right.
So 85 million, right?
Yep.
Number two, Rise of the Guardians. 7.4 million. It's got to be one of at least the biggest gaps ever.
Yeah.
First and second. And then third is Lincoln, 7.2 million.
Yeah.
And then Skyfall with 7 million. And Life of Pi with 5.4 million.
Okay. Now, here's the thing with Hobbit, though. I've been hearing mixed reactions. I have people who love it, who have seen it in the high frame rate in 3D IMAX. There's people who hate it, who see the same thing. So it's very, you know, it's not a middle-of-the-road kind of picture. You're either going to love it or you're going to hate it.
But I think more people are hating it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see what the drop-off is on that. That's what's going to be interesting. We knew it opened huge.
Yeah.
But let's see the drop-off. Did, like, all the total fanboys go see it, and now nobody else wants to? Or
that's true.
I don't know, because it's not getting great word of mouth, so.
And there's two more pictures of that coming that are already in the can, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, we'll have to see.
Yep. Well, next week at the box office, it does have a little bit of competition, but not much. We get two Wednesday openings this week, Monsters, Inc. 3D from Pixar,
yeah,
which is a great movie in and of itself. I still don't like the whole 3D thing, but hey.
Nope.
People are going to go see it. The other movie is The Guilt Trip, which is Seth Rogen and Barbara Streisand as mother and son, or son and mother.
Just that. I would not want to see that.
It's going to be a lot of whining.
It's a train wreck, or it's like brilliantly hysterical. How can you not want to see that?
I don't know. I don't know. Opening on Friday, we've got a new Tom Cruise movie called Jack Reacher, where he's kind of this rogue hitman, which, I don't know, Tom Cruise has kind of hit the saturation point, both personally and professionally, but we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah.
And then Judd Apatow's follow-up to Knocked Up, This is 40 with Paul Rudd and Leslie Mann, which Clark and Dave talked about on the Friday filibuster this week, and Dave was not impressed. In fact, he turned it off halfway through. So
it's another really polarizing movie, because I'm hearing that it's complete shit, and then I'm hearing it's really smart. Like, Entertainment Weekly, I think, gave it a good review. Like, yeah, it's another kind of polarizing movie. Mm. I think maybe how much you relate to it, I don't know.
Yeah,
I do want to see it, just because I love both of them.
Yeah, of course.
And the characters.
Yeah.
So it's not a complete sequel to Knocked Up.
No, it's not.
It's the secondary characters are now the focus of this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, if you're not going to the box office and you prefer to see what's coming to DVD and Blu-ray, you can head over to DVDverdict.com and click on the DVD releases tab and we look at the titles for December 18th. Not a lot of stuff. It tends to drop off over these couple of holiday weeks. We've got Arbitrage, which is a spy thriller. We've got Diary of a Wimpy Kid 3.
Already on 3, wow.
I know. And the 3 set, if you're going to buy all 3 movies together. Pitch Perfect, which proves again that the window between theatrical and DVD is closing rapidly. Pitch Perfect did very well at the box office, I think surprisingly well.
It did. And that's a movie I didn't hear a bad thing about from anyone.
That's true. Good point. Good point. Same here. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's Premium Rush with Michael Shannon. Resident Evil Retribution, another 3D movie, gets a DVD and Blu-ray release. The completely unnecessary remake of Total Recall. Clint Eastwood, Justin Timberlake, and In Trouble with a Curve.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy Letts, Killer Joe.
Yes.
Is out this week with Matthew McConaughey. And then if you're into TV on DVD, you've got Patrick Wilson's A Gifted Man, which was unceremoniously dumped. I think it was a CBS show.
Yeah, it was an interesting premise.
Yeah. Shameless season 2 from Showtime, I believe, or HBO, one of the two. Californication number season 5. If you enjoy Tosh.0 on Comedy Central, season 2 is coming out. And then one of Melissa's favorite shows of her past, Quincy, season 6 is available.
I was in love with Jack Klugman when I was little. Yeah. Just an odd child. But no, I was in love with him. Okay.
All right. I've spent a lot of time on streaming this past week since I've been sick, so I've been watching a lot of stuff, especially on Amazon Prime. I've gone through all the Star Trek movies. I went through some Hitchcock stuff. I watched North by Northwest the other night, another great Hitchcock movie. But over at Netflix, there's very little available this week. Olivia Wilde's direct-to-DVD romantic comedy, The Baby Makers, which we didn't review very well at Verdict. Bruce Willis's direct-to-DVD action pick, Fire with Fire. And Kenneth Branagh's remake of the hit Swedish crime drama series, Wallander. All three of those are available on Netflix this week. Over at Hulu, you've got the Norwegian dark comedy Christmas tale, Rare Exports. Tori Spelling's ABC Family original movie, The Mistletoes. Speaking of Pitch Perfect, we had a documentary about the alternative rock group The Replacements called Colored Me Obsessed. And then if you're a Dolph Lundgren fan, he is a wrongly accused military man trying to clear his name in Stormcatcher. And that's all I've got for streaming this week, so I'll throw it over to you for television.
Okay, well, tons of stuff on TV, lots of finales and specials and all that, so... Have a seat and open up your ears. Monday on Fox, there's a bunch of Christmas specials. It's DreamWorks Dragons, Gift of the Night Fury, Ice Age, A Mammoth Christmas, and Happiness is a Warm Blanket, Charlie Brown. Uh-huh. And then it is also the end of Gossip Girl.
Oh.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finale of that. And a Tuesday on ABC is Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yay.
I'm sure everyone will be watching that. And then on NBC, it's The Voice finale.
Okay.
On Wednesday, NBC, Weird Special, Miss Universe is on.
Aren't we done with those kind of things yet?
We're still I guess not. Mm. And ABC has The Year with Katie Couric.
Okay.
Exciting.
Retrospective stuff.
Yeah. And then on NBC 2 is also Home for the Holidays with Rascal Flatts. Huh. If you're a country fan, you can check that out. On Thursday, on ABC is I Want a Dog for Christmas, Charlie Brown. He's just all over the place this week. And then it's the CMA Country Christmas. So it's basically Charlie Brown and country. That's what you're getting.
All right.
Except on MTV, it's the Jersey Shore finale.
Oh, God. Is this the end, the end?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, we have spinoff stuff.
Brother.
I mean, it will never be the end.
Okay.
And then on Fox is X Factor finale. Yep. And then Saturday on ABC is Prep and Landing, Naughty versus Nice.
Okay.
And I have to tell you all on my notes, I actually put Perp and Landing. A little Freudian. But after that is a Chipmunk Christmas.
Oh, all right.
And then over on NBC is Mr. Magoo Christmas.
Nice.
And then ready? WWE Tribute to the Troops.
Oh, brother. What the?
Anyhow.
What?
But if we can back up a day, yeah. I saved the best for last.
Okay.
The best thing on television, at least this week,
what?
Is on BBC America. The Brit List.
Yes.
The Doctor Who Ultimate Lists of Lists.
Nice.
So they're going to talk all about Doctor Who and characters and villains and all the really good stuff. And John Barrowman is going to be on it.
Yes, he is, in addition to.
And if that is not enough for you, the brilliant and brilliantly hysterical Nina Bargel is going to be on.
Yes, she is.
She is actually a friend of mine, and she is a writer up there in Hollywood and a big Who fan.
Yes.
So it'd be very interesting to see what John and Nina and a bunch of other smart, funny people have to say about Doctor Who.
For those who don't know, Melissa and Nina went to high school together. So.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
All right. So that is some stuff on TV this week. And then music this week. Again, you want to feel old? Slow Hand, Eric Clapton's.
Oh, my God.
35th anniversary.
Oh.
Box edition is coming out.
Oh, jeez. 35.
All right. But speaking of great blues music, Live at Legends by Buddy Guy. the now shuttered Legends Club.
Is it really closed?
Chicago. Him performing live there, I think like a year ago or so before it shut down.
I didn't know they had closed it. I've been there several times. Sad. My friend Johnny used to play there.
Yeah, quite sad.
Ah.
And then Trouble Man, Heavy is the head, T.I., but he's got a bunch of guest stars in this album. So like CeeLo Green and Pink and Andre 3000, yay. And then R. Frickin' Kelly.
And he and Chris Brown.
Just leave? Can they just leave?
Yeah. They can go on tour together. The two of them
and
can.
Why are people singing with them?
I don't know. I don't know. Why is Rihanna still with Chris Brown? Who knows?
Yeah, she's an idiot. There's no other explanation for that one.
Yep.
But why are people putting R. Kelly
on
the album still?
Because they believe he can fly.
Whatever. Anyhow. Okay, another one. Ready?
Yeah.
The Pogues in Paris. 30th anniversary.
Holy crap.
The Pogues have been around for 30 years.
Where has the time gone?
Anyhow, and in soundtracks this week, Tarantino's Django Unchained.
Yes.
That soundtrack is out this week. And interesting, a bunch of CDs and, of course, you know, MP3s. They're re-releasing a Frank Zappa's catalog.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So all of his stuff is out again in new versions.
Wow.
Very cool.
Wow.
So a whole bunch of stuff in music this week. Jack shit in books. There was nothing that caught my eye, except I mentioned last week there's a bunch of authors really famous with big catalogs that are being released in ebooks now.
Okay.
And the latest of that is Sidney Sheldon.
Oh.
So if you're a fan of his or know someone who's a fan of his, you can, you know, pull out your Nook or your Kindle or whatever and load up on his stuff now.
Interesting.
And then in honor of my mom, I'll mention this one too. The Sackets by Louis L'Amour.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Books. Yeah. That's available as a bundle, for your e-reader.
Cool.
Yep. And theater this week, the American Rep Theater in New York. It's opening January 3rd, but I'm totally excited about this. It's a revival of Pippin.
Oh my God.
Now, I've never seen Pippin on the stage, but Pippin is one of my all-time favorite musicals. Because do you remember the PBS special with William Cass?
Yes, and Ben Vereen. I do. I reviewed it for Verdict when it hit DVD.
Right. That was like one of my favorite things
on
television when I was a kid for some odd reason. They'd run it on PBS every now and then, and when it'd be on, I would be like so happy and watch it.
Yep.
But anyhow, if you are as big a fan as William Cat and Pippin on PBS when you were a kid, you can go see the new revival of it in New York.
Very 70s, you know, it's...
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's horrible, but it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, as we head deep into awards season now, one of my least favorite times of the year, both the Golden Globes and the Screen Actors Guild nominations have been announced. So I'm going to run through some of these really quick. For the Globes, for Best Picture Drama, we have Argo, which is well-deserving. Ben, I talked about this when it was released. Ben, you haven't seen it yet, have you?
I haven't, and actually was going to see that instead of Skyfall.
Okay.
And, like, looked up the times, and there was a perfect time because we're going during the day.
Yeah.
And then I checked with the theater, and they weren't running it during the day.
Okay.
And it was all pissed. But anyhow, then I was happy because I saw Skyfall. Yeah. Anyhow, go on.
Argo, very deserving of that nomination. Django Unchained, Tarantino, the foreign folks love Tarantino. That's why that's there. Ang Lee's Life of Pi, Steven Spielberg, Lincoln, and Catherine Bigelow's Zero Dark Thirty, which is getting all sorts of controversial nonsense being spoken about it.
Yeah, and that's opening in limited release this week.
It is. But I love movies that people have never seen that they get all worked up about. You know, this whole thing about it's pro-torture, it's all this kind of stuff. You haven't seen the movie, so shut the F up and wait until you see the movie, then you can talk about it.
Yeah, I like how you said F, and I've been totally swearing on this podcast today.
That's okay.
It doesn't matter.
Just got to pull it back a little bit. Best Picture Comedy Musical, again, for the Golden Globes. Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, which my brother and I saw a week or so ago, and it is an absolutely beautiful picture. Talk about Judi Dench, Maggie Smith, Bill Nighy, the woman who played Prime Minister Harriet, what's her name, from Doctor Who, Harriet Jones, you know.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful. They're talking about doing a sequel to this, which I don't think it needs because it's a beautiful little standalone picture. Getting very well deserving of a nomination. Les Mis, Moonrise Kingdom from Wes Anderson, another absolutely beautiful picture. Salmon Fishing in the Yemen, and Silver Linings Playbook, which I have not seen, but is showing up on all of these lists right now. Now, this is David O. Russell's picture with Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence and Robert De Niro, which looked terrible, but I haven't seen it, and it's getting all this critical acclaim.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really good. And you just look at it, and you're like, oh, it's some kind of like rom-com, exactly. Dramedy, whatever. Right. Who cares? It's a throwaway, but it's not.
No, apparently not. Best animated film for the Globes, Brave, Frankenweenie, Hotel Transylvania, Rise of the Guardians, and Wreck-It Ralph. Three Disney movies on there. Not a big surprise. Mm-hmm. Moving over to the performance categories from the Screen Actors Guild. Lead male actor, Bradley Cooper, Silver Linings Playbook. Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln. John Hawkes for The Sessions. I just moved my thing and lost my place here. Hugh Jackman for Les Miserables. And Denzel Washington for Flight. Big missing person on this list is Joaquin Phoenix for The Master, who, when that movie came out...
But he doesn't want it anyhow,
yes.
So nah.
Well, he buried himself because nobody wants to nominate him.
Well, I don't want to give you something you don't want.
Right, exactly.
Oh.
So, there you go.
Whatever.
Foot in mouth. Lead female actor, Jessica Chastain for Zero Dark Thirty. Now, here's a girl who came out of nowhere and last year had The Help... and was the other movie with Michael Shannon that she was in, and now she's got this. And
she rocks pretty hard.
She does. Marion Cotillard for Rust and Bone, which is a movie I know absolutely nothing about, but she's on that. She's been nominated for it. Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook, Helen Mirren for Hitchcock, and Naomi Watts for The Impossible. Supporting male actor, Alan Arkin for Argo. Extremely well-deserving. He was freaking hilarious in this film. For a movie that was so serious on one hand, he and John Goodman were the comedic relief that struck this perfect balance in that movie. And I still want to talk to you about it when you finally see it. Javier Bardem for Skyfall, which we've already talked about, and he's well-deserving. Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook. Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master. And Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln. And then Best Supporting Female Actor for the SAG Awards, Sally Field for Lincoln, Anne Hathaway for Les Miserables, Helen Hunt for The Sessions, Nicole Kidman for The Paperboy for peeing on Zac Efron's face, and Maggie Smith for Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Excuse me.
Okay.
So yeah, there's going to be all sorts of awards, the Producers Guild, the Writers Guild, the Directors Guild, all this stuff is going to be coming at us fast and furiously, and everyone's going to put out their top 10 lists.
And we will have forgotten in a year who even won.
Exactly. But for now, it's going to be the most important thing in the world, so just grit your teeth and try and ignore what's going on. Christopher Nolan's next project is something he won't be directing, but instead he's producing this film with his longtime cinematographer, Wally Pfister, moves into the director's chair for a film called Transcendence. It's a tale of a brilliant scientist, played by Johnny Depp, whose brain is uploaded into a supercomputer to create the first sentient machine.
Ooh.
Yes, and this is under a veil of secrecy. They're trying to keep this completely wraps, so we'll see how this develops. One thing we didn't talk about a couple weeks ago with the passing of actor Larry Hagman, TNT's reboot of the series Dallas, which has been getting some pretty decent ratings, is going to honor its patriarch with a proper funeral in episode 8 of the show's second season, which is set to air on March 11th.
I was wondering how they would handle it.
And of course, Larry Hagman is, you know, will forever be loved as Colonel Tony Nelson on I Dream of Jeannie.
Yeah, I think you can divide people in two camps here.
Yeah.
The, you know, Jeannie camp or the Dallas camp.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely a Jeannie camp on this one.
Yeah.
And he's had an amazing life, too. I mean, the man was a severe alcoholic who wound up getting a liver transplant. And got
which was so controversial. Do you remember that?
Absolutely, because he was bumped to the top of the list.
People were pissed, that I think rightly so.
Yeah. And he's the son of Broadway legend Mary Martin. Which a lot of people have forgotten about that. So the original Maria von Trapp in Sound of Music on Broadway, and the original Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm.
So Mary was a very talented woman in her own right.
Yeah.
Sadly, due to scheduling conflicts, Jack White has exited as composer for Disney's Lone Ranger.
That kind of sucks.
I know. He's being replaced by Hans Zimmer, who is Gore's director, Gore Verbinski's longtime collaborator. But several of White's already completed songs.
Something new and interesting, you know?
I know. But he has done a lot of work for that picture, and a lot of it's going to stay. And then Hans is just going to write the stuff around it.
All right. We'll see.
And we finally got the expanded trailer for J.J. Abrams' Star Trek Into Darkness. We had the teaser trailer, which drew all sorts of reaction about who the villain was going to be.
Yeah.
And this new trailer, we are no closer to learning who that person actually is.
We are not going to ever be.
Yeah.
Until we watch it, I think.
Aside from the fact that Benedict Cumberbatch looks like one of the most menacing villains that franchise has ever seen.
Yeah, it's interesting. I saw an interview with him, like Entertainment Tonight or something like that, and he is just loving that nobody knows. And they're like, are you going to be able to keep it secret? And he's like, basically like, oh yeah, this is great. This is totally fun stringing y'all along.
Yep, and that's exactly what they're doing. All the way till its premiere in May of next year.
Yep.
All right, that's all I've got for this week for us.
Okay. Well, you know how the Kardashians do their big Christmas card? Every year.
Oh, the big
thing. It's like a big thing. They've done it forever.
And it's usually themed in some way.
And it's themed. They're all dressed like whatever. But it's really interesting. So that because the family's growing, it's out. You can go find it. Just go Google it, whatever. But it's interesting because Khloe was doing some interviews and talking and saying how like half of them weren't even there for the shoots.
Oh, they
it's all like photoshopped in and all kinds of. But the big news, everybody was waiting. By everybody, I mean no one to find out was Kanye going to be in it.
And was he?
He is not in the card. You got to knock up one of them or actually marry him.
Oh, okay.
You can get in it, I guess. Okay. That's the rules. So no Kanye in the Kardashian card. Sorry to disappoint you all, you know, two or three people that cared.
Yeah, and Bruce wasn't able to extricate himself from the family.
Nope, not by Christmas at least.
Poor man. Poor, poor man. All right. Well, and on that bombshell of a note, we will take our leave of you for this week. We'll be back next week with more Christmassy fun and excitement. In the meantime, you can check out all of our reviews at DVDverdict.com, and there will be an upcoming last-minute Christmas shopping guide. My life has been such an upside-down thing this week. I have not gotten to it yet. So it will be there, and we will continue to run reviews all through the holidays, so you will never be bored with contact on DVD Verdict. But until then, Melissa Ann, take it away.
You know there's a better way for you and me to be. Look for the rainbow in every storm. Fly like an angel heaven sent to me. Goodbye, my friend.